Fine. This week's Parsha, Parshas Re'eh. We repeat the rules of kosher animals. We're going to focus on the fish today. And it's the rules when it comes to fish is relatively simple. Anything that has snapir would be fins, and kaskeses are scales. If they've got that, you can eat it. And if it doesn't have it, that's all what matters. Nothing else matters. All what I care are fins and scales. I walk into a store, I see a fish, whether I know what it is, whether I don't know what it is, if it's got fins and scales, I can eat it. If not, not. When you're buying a whole fish doesn't eat a hashkacha. Anybody could do this. Just look at fins and scales and it's good to go. Now, the Gemara Nida says, that might sound simple, but really, it's simpler. How could it be? So if we look at the Mishnah in Nida, number two, the Mishnah says, Kosh yeshlo kas keses yeshlo snapir. Anything that has scales will, of course, have fins. V'yesh yeshlo snapir ve'ein lo kas keses. But there's nothing. But there are things that have fins and not scales. So therefore, logically, what I have to look for in my fish is
scales.
That's all what I need is its scales. I don't even have to look for fins and scales. What? Say that five times fast while eating chicken. So yes.
So then why would they say?
Dr. Joe Klayman, you could have written the Gemara. Unbelievable. You could have been an Amora, because it was wondering that as well. And it said as follows. So the Gemara says, so therefore, kol sheyesh lo kas keses, whatever has scales, dog tar. Sheyesh lo sabi el kas keses, dog tame. So michti, so wait a second. Anan a kas keses samchinan. So therefore, all what I care about is scales. Snapir de kasav rachman al amali. So why did the Chumash bother even putting it down? I believe that was your question. Right? It would seem that you said, Kol sheyesh lo kas keses. And the laning would have been shorter on Shabbos. We would have gotten out a little quicker. Less time needed to prepare. Right? What do I even need this snapir for? So the Gemara tries to answer. I lo kosav rachmana snapir have a mina my kas keses the ksiv snapir. Well, the Gemara first suggests, well, maybe, how do I know what the word kas keses means? Maybe I would have mistranslated the word kas keses as fins. And I would think that fins enough would be enough. So therefore it says, right, so therefore what I do? By saying both, it clarifies that just fins are not enough. Oh, I would disagree. What? So, well, this is the Havamim.
Right,
meaning
that.
Exactly.
And that's fine, because then I have them both. Right. But the idea is that, you know, if I picked one of them wrong, then I'd be in trouble.
What's if, who would think that was anything but scales? If what you said is opposite, then it wouldn't be enough to see just scales, if in fact what you're saying is just fins.
Right, that was the concern. The concern is that people would think if I just wrote kas keses and someone mistranslated kas keses as fins, then they would have thought just fins, and just fins wouldn't work. So the Gemara, in fact, rejects this idea. So don't spend that much mental energy on this one. We said, well, the idea of this, we could have figured out someplace else from Goliath. Goliath was wearing kaskasim, which is some sort of armor.
Uh-huh.
Armor. So again,
they look like scales.
So there you have it. So he says,
mess up that
Right, so that's the case. We always knew that. So why didn't you have to do it? Lichta Rachmana Kaskasas Veloba is Snapir. So therefore, back to our question. What do I even need Snapir for? Amar Rav Abu Lechein Tana Deber Bishmal Yagdil Torah V'yadir. So you learn more from the Torah. Not clear what that means exactly, but the bottom line of the Gemara is that in Hachinami, all what you need is scales. When it comes to a kosher fish, if it's got scales, it's kosher, and that's all what I need to know.
Although, is it fair to assume that Goliath's armor looked like scales the way in medieval times? Because we're not talking about medieval times.
Well, the Gemara was written before medieval times, and it thought it.
Right.
That was written long before medieval times.
A layered leather.
Again, we're not eating Goliath. Let's go.
We're not?
What? No, we're not. We're not even snacking on him. Right, this is just a matter of how to understand the word. Right? So therefore, since his armor looked like scales, we know that the word for armor and scales are similar. That's how we know that the words mean scales.
And he wasn't wearing fins.
Not as far as we know.
But it's supposed to look like armor. I think the outer covering of a shrimp was more like armor than fish scales.
Yes, but it's not, but it doesn't look like scales.
So, no. I've seen commercials for Red Lobsters. Does that help?
Lobsters really look like armor.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. Yeah. They're plates, like internal armor plates.
So the bottom line is we believe that, as we said originally, that kaskeses means scales. And all we need to know is that the fish has scales. If the fish has scales, it's kosher. So this should be the easiest thing ever, right? Just go to the fish store and say, give me something nice with scales. And that's it. We're good to go. However, nothing in Judaism is that easy. Which is good, because if it was so easy, I wouldn't have a job. So you know, there is a value. That's true. There we have it. So, the Gemara in Chulin has a disagreement. How many scales do you need?
That's a good question.
On behalf of the Gemara, we thank you for the Haskama. So the Gemara says, number three, Uba Dugim Koshe Yeslo Snapir Vikaskeses. You have Yehuda Omer, Shnei Kaskasim Visnapir Echad. You need two scales and one fin.
That's it. Swim with one.
Okay, but
we're not. You have no Kaskeses.
So that is the rule. Now, again, I'm not worried. The fins don't interest me that much, right? My interest really is in the scales.
How does he get two?
Well, he assumes that the word kaskeses is a, right, is plural somehow or another.
Yeah, but it is.
What?
He doesn't have to argue it?
That's it. So that's his comment. We don't follow it. You'll be happy to know. The Elohim kaskasim hakavuin bo. When it comes to scales, they are part of it. Usnapir haparech bahem. And snapir are what they swim with. That's what makes them move. Right? Those are the fins. Now we know. Okay.
That's good.
So again, this is a machokest. You need one or two scales. Again, let's be honest. Most fish have more than two. Right, they have lots. That's
they
the exact. That's
sides. They gotta have.
Well, again, they come with
lots scales.
Right. So again, we're talking about scales. So that's. So,
you mean one on the whole organism?
On the whole fish, one scale. That's all you need.
That's a pretty big
scale.
Two scales. Two scales going to be. We're gonna posk in one.
One on each side.
But again, on the whole organ, all you need is two scales. Not doesn't have to cover it. It could have. You know, I have like a beauty mark scale, and that's it. That's enough. Got it? Okay. Next, Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Give us a little bit more of an idea of what we're looking for. Tanu Rabbonin, Ein lo achshiv asur gadol acher zman. What if when the fish is born, it does not have scales, but as it matures, it grows scales.
Which fish does that? Do we know that?
That's a
good question.
Swedish fish. So right? Kagon has a saltitizva afitz, hareze mutter. That's okay, as long as it gets it later in life. Yeshro achshav.
Can you eat it when it doesn't have its scales?
Yes, it very much, you can. Because that's what happens in this type of fish.
Not if you eat it.
But how do you know that if that's a fish? You don't have DNA testing.
It's mommy was a cell type. It's grandmommy was a cell type. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeshu achshiv v'asiv rahashi b'shasha orim min hayam. What if it has in the water, but when you take it out of the water, the scales fall off?
Like a mermaid.
Kagot aknus v'apunis kastiapus v'aksitayus. Like these five? Also mutter. Also mutter. Right? Again, if it had scale when it's in the water. Interesting, there's only one case which is not discussed specifically. What if it has scales when it's young
and it loses it
as it matures? Yeah? Maybe. So again, so let's say, so if that's the case, if it had scales and it loses scales, so it was not specifically spoken of. Right? We spoke about if it gets it later in life, and we have it if it loses it when it comes out of the water. But we didn't discuss a case where if it loses it before it goes in the water. Now, as I think was alluded to earlier on.
How do you understand cooling?
What?
The regulator says it's cooling, that it's like.
It's part of it.
Right. So that's one that sheds. But what, that's temporary.
So again, one that sheds when it comes out of the water.
Or it's just temporary.
Well, temporary. Well, the temporary where it only starts later on, we're fine with that. Yes, and we're even fine with that before it gets its scales. Right? It's hard to imagine. Can you think about it? It's hard to imagine a fish that is at some points in its life kosher and some points in its life not kosher. Right? What? As opposed to the fins, which move, these don't flap.
It's just getting us information.
Well, right, it's translating the words. I mean, how else do you understand what it's telling us about the fins?
Maybe what he's saying is that it has to be like part of it established.
And what was it telling us about the fins then? Right, that's where you get stuck. That's where you hit the wall.
Right?
So again, the strong argument to make is, now again, one could argue logically that in fact it's different. Because it says here specifically if it sheds it when it comes out of the water, as opposed to if it sheds it before it comes out of the water, perhaps you might want to argue that it is problematic, it's not kosher. But then you're stuck with that problem of, okay, but let's say it is a swordfish. I think the rumor has it until it grows to around 4 feet, it maintains its scales. And when it gets larger than that, it loses its scales. If I catch a 3-foot swordfish, would it be kosher? What if I caught a 5-foot swordfish?
That's problematic.
Right, so again, logically, it's hard to argue that, you know, at some point in its life, it becomes
not kosher.
Right, if it became a treif, if it's old, it's sickly. Again, that's a whole different ballgame. But in the event, what's the argument here? Just because it has matured to a certain point, now becomes not kosher? So that's hard to argue. But again, I should point out that if you want to be technical, our Gemara said, so again, or you don't need that many scales, and the scales could come later in life, and the scales can even fall off when you take them out of the water. But with that all being said, it does not specifically talk about the case where it loses it later in life prior to being taken out of the water. Okay, but one could make a strong argument that logically it's the same, that should be good as well. The Ramban in Parsha Shmini adds an interesting idea. And this is an important addition. Snapir v'kaskeses, snapirim elo hashat behem. Right? Same ideas in the Gemara. Snapirim are those which you swim with. Kaskasos elu hakavuim bo. Loshon Rashi. That's Rashi. Where did Rashi get it from? Avi? What? He got it from the Gemara, right? He got it from the Gemara in Chulin. The chain of a Gemara Meseches Chulin. Ava lo tavin moshom shem kavuim begufan mamish tevukim ba'or hadad. So he wants to take on this issue. What does kavuim mean? Right? This is what Avi was trying to say. Like, does that mean that it really has to be attached? Ava karm kavuim ch'enem nadim imenu v'olam ezam lehem k'snapir. So the obvious answer is meaning unlike the fin, which moves independent of the body, right?
No, it's independent of the body.
Meaning that the body's not moving, but it is. Right?
It's moving the body, to be exact.
Correct.
The fish has a tail on the back, which waves back and forth. The fins don't wave the same way except for the action.
They wave. They just wave differently. They are moving. They are what moves the body.
They move more than the scales do.
Correct.
Okay? That's the point. Oh, we were going to invite you tomorrow night. I guess not. So, I guess that's not such a long time. So, v'heim ha-klipin ha-gulim she-goldim dom le-tziporin. So he explains, what are the scales? They are the round things that kind of look like fingernails. A little roundish. Shem nifshatin me'ar hadag bi-yad o-besakim. And they can be taken off the skin of the fish, either by hand or using a knife. Right. Avo koshu kavu of a dubuk or ha dog ve ino nifrin min all kal ino kaskesis. However, if you have something that you can't remove it from the skin of the fish without tearing the skin, that is not considered a scale. What? I don't know if it's fake scales. Fake scales, yes. I forgot how far south you live. So he says, therefore, these not vilakach. Amru b'gemara kaskesus levushahu v'loshon tosefta elohim a kaskasim shemalbush behem. This not pirin sheshot behem. He says, so again, it has to be a levush. It has to be a clothing to the fish, right? Not the skin of the fish, but something like clothing that is removable, right? So he said, that's why, he says, and it's much like, where do we learn it from? We learned it from the armor of Goliath, right? Just like that was removable, right? So that is an important rule. That's to mean that if this is something that sticks to the skin in such a way that you cannot remove it without injuring the fish, then those aren't scales. The definition of scales is something that you can remove without hurting the skin of the fish. Lahalacha, right? There are other people who agree with this, right? For example, the Tiferes Yisrael on the Mishnah in Chulin says, Hakavuin bo, she'enu menalik osam kishashat. It doesn't, he says that these do not move when they swim. The Steinbuten, Shalanu, Sheshbo, Galgav of Kain, Tanuchim, Koshim, Vavim, Sheshbo, Talam, Mimeno, Rakbechosek. Said, as opposed to certain fish that do have things on top of their skin, but if you, in order to get them off, you'd have to pull very hard and rip the skin. Now, the Nodi Yabi Yehuda is not excited about this because he notes that this idea really doesn't appear anywhere else. Meaning that, Anin Nisiti Dag Zev Yeshro Shte Shuras Kas Kasim Shur Achas B'tzad Yamin V'Shur Achas B'tzad Shmol. So the Nodi Yabi Yehuda was brought a certain fish. It had two lines of scales, one on each side of the fish. U'mabakach She'ein Nekafim. And so what, B'yad? What if I can't take it off by my hand? Whatever that is. And when I put it into boiling water, in fact, it came off by hand, and that was fine. And he said, not only that, he says, I'll be honest with you, I can't get excited about this whole thing. Three lines from the bottom. V'heichon huska hakilof b'vavli of Yerushalmi or b'toras kohanim. Look at all the primary sources. No one mentions the idea that it has to be able to come off without tearing the skin. Not in the Gemara in the Bavli, not in the Gemara in the Yerushalmi, not in the Medrash. Nobody ever mentioned this. The Ramban says it.
I see.
The Ramban came up with this idea on his own. Uh-huh. So he says, I'll be honest with you, I probably am not moved by this at all. The truth be told, even though the Noda Behuda makes a strong point, at the end of the day, the tradition is to follow the Ramban.
It's a little tough to blow off the Ramban.
Right. But then again, it's true.
You're right.
But if the Rambam and all the other Rishonim never quoted it, right, and there is no source in the Gemara, and it doesn't get quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, you know, again, we don't blow off the Ramban, but at the end of the day, you would have expected another source supporting him. Speaking of said Shulchan Aruch, let's take a look at it and see what we have here. So you say, see, money dug in before Rosh Hashanah Torah. He said, it's very easy. He said, so the Shulchan Aruch tells us, you look at the Torah, it tells us what you need to get a kosher fish. Kosher yeshlo snapir v'kaskeses tahar. Fins and scales, it's kosher. V'sapir hu sheshatba. The fins are what you swim with. V'kaskeses haklipos hakavuas ba. And the kaskeses is
the shell. Outer layer.
Right, that is attached to it. Now, the Ramah says, this is important, but Dafka Shem Nekofen B'yad O B'Kli. He quotes the Ramban. Okay? Avon Mesha Kofen Aridog O Mikri Kaskasas. So again, we accept that. There has to be. The Afilo Eim Lo Elos Napir Achad. The Kaskasas Achad. Again, against the Gemara. Against Rabbi Yehuda. Right? That's enough, just one. All I need is one. V'afilu ein lo ata, v'asu l'gadron, l'achar zman. O shehoyu ha'odu b'amayim, v'ishiru miyad, b'arosu l'yabosha, mutter. And not only that, he quotes that if it doesn't have now, but it will grow later, indicating that even at this point it's kosher. And even if it had, and it lost when it left, that's also good. Hagav yesh omim de'in lahatkir because keses achas rak shehi omedes tachas lechayev oznava osnapiro. So the Ramah has another chumah which doesn't affect our case, which says it has to one's enough if it's located. No, he says it has to be located in the right place. Either it has to be under the fin or under the tail. It's specific places where it has to be, and the Ramah says v'tov lahachmir, meaning that. All right. Sounds like a good idea.
They usually show up on the sides of the fish.
Mm-hmm.
The scales.
Right. Most fish have lots of scales.
Exactly. All over their body, but mostly right. Down the side. Is mm-hmm. See
right. Onto the tail.
Onto the tail.
Correct.
Is this like each individual fish you're looking at, or is this like, you know the species has scales?
Species. It's the species. Okay. So, with that background, we can begin to discuss the very exciting topic of the swordfish. The swordfish. It would seem that for as far as we know back, prior to 1950, all Jews ate swordfish, as far as we can tell. Looking at the Knesset HaGadolah, which is a commentary on the Torah, he talks about something that sounds a lot like a swordfish. Minag pashut b'chol Yisrael shlechol dog bal hacherev. What's a cherev? What's a dog bal hacherev? This fish that has the sword, right? Hanikra b'raz fishy ishpada. What? That's again. This is what it, that's what they called it in this area. It would see again the Knesset HaGadolah, I believe, was from Italy. But the word is likely Greek, they point out.
Say so, the word again.
What? That's again. Yeah. Right. That's a swordfish. Right. So again, Peyud Shin is probably like Pisces, right? Something like that. Right. Right. So again, he's clearly saying that you know that the minig has always been right? Poshet, they eat this. Alpha pishein lo kaskeses, even though it does not have scales. Bimnesha omen shebeshash omen ayam machmas kaasa misno aas mashkachas kaskosea. When you catch a swordfish, it gets so angry, it shakes violently and it shakes off all of its scales. That's what they said. V'ulai echad min haminim shehusku bebraisu sheyesh lo achshav v'asad rashi l'koshol min hayam. V'shamati shesar echad mishne ha-melech shora es mazeh al zeh. Mori Zakeni, sorry, Mori Zakeni, may he ask my grandfather on this? Heichu imochur, so they asked, how are you allowed to eat this? V'heishu v'shloshe mesir b'shar sh'ol min hayam v'yeh kemet sachik. So he said to him, you know, they lose it when they get, and the guy who asked him said, it's a laugh. No, they don't. They don't shake off their scales. That's not true.
But they do shake violently.
So Ma also, what does it say? Ma is called Halichu Rebeis HaMetzu the B'mokim Shalom HaDag HaZeh. So he took him to the docks where they went and they caught this type of fish. B'lacha K'mo Ama Beget Shachar. So he brought out this black cloth and he put the, when they caught a fish, they put it on the cloth. After they caught it, they wrapped it up and then he took it off and he saw that it was full of scales. So that proved it, that it shook the scales off.
When they wrapped it up in the black blanket?
Caught it, right, yeah, because again, right. That you're able to see it on the blanket.
Is that under 4 feet?
What?
Is that one of the little ones?
It'd be 4 feet or above.
What?
I don't know what.
It doesn't matter if it gets the mark right. When it leaves the water.
Correct. So, Azomar Emes v'kibaltim Emes. So the guy admitted it. V'afal pi the Gemara avodah zara. Amr the icy mishichi chaviri v'chafi b'dik v'hoi v'kalfi. Pirsh Rashi b'shia kaskasim shchoros. Even it says in the Gemara that it's not going to help because they're really black. Even though the Gemara says you should wrap it in a white one because the scales are black. So the Rashba points out that no, that sometimes it has white scales and then you should use a black one or something like that. Yeah, that's fine. So this was the writings of the Knesset Gedolah, and it sounds an awful lot like the swordfish, right? As he calls it the Dag Bal HaCherev, right? Sounds a lot like this swordfish, and especially when we have the translation, seems to meet very nicely. In fact, again, we'll move the cock a little forward to the Chida. Chida lived in the 19th century. And he writes, Pashat Amin Alechok Dog Bal HaKerev, Nikre, Paisi, right? Ispada, same thing. Right, this way he has a sin instead of a samach instead of a sin, so it's clearer. Vimnesha Omerish Bishas El Yaso Mehaya Mashleches Kaskosev, Zikneno Herol Mishnah Mel Kaskasim Bebeger Shocher, Shinibi Mechmorish Etzad Dog. So he says that, in fact, no problem, 100%, this is kosher without a question. So again, this would seem to have been, we have no one who writes otherwise in any time before 1950. We don't. Why do we? Right, again, so some people said, that they didn't believe that it had scales before it came out, and they did this scientific experiment, whatever it was, and based on that, in 1951, there was a young rabbi. Rabbi Moshe David Tendler, who was 25 years old at the time.
Fancy that.
And he has a scientific background, as well as a rabbinic background. And he got involved with the OU to write a list of kosher fish. And in it, he wrote that swordfish were not kosher.
Right. Why did he say it's not kosher?
And the basis of the argument was that the dag bal hacherev is not a swordfish, but rather a sailfish. Now, again, we know that there are...
This is a sailfish.
So we know a swordfish is called a swordfish because...
It has a sword.
It has a sword in it.
The baseball team in Miami, the Miami Swordfish, they're called?
Marlins.
The Marlins. And what do the Marlins have at the end of their nose? Right? Right. The idea being that the dog, bal hacherev, there are many fish that have... So that's the course. So Rabbi Tendler made the argument that they were constantly eating a sailfish. They were not eating a swordfish.
Why would a sailfish have a sword?
It does. That's not arguable.
A number of fishes
have marlin. A marlin has
a point.
Right. Has a very Jewish nose. as well.
We
so
don't eat it.
Wow.
The nose would be different though. Like a swordfish, like it's a really long jags and they're like a
it's more like a fencing thing.
So
right.
Whatever it's worth, my Is It Kosher fish app says that sailfish is not kosher.
Mm-hmm. And what about swordfish? Right.
GT.
Right. Here, as we eagerly await the Is It Kosher app to Poskin.
Nope. Says sorry, dude. That's not kosher.
What? Which one?
Swordfish.
Well, that's in the Mashiach. What am I going to say after that?
Really?
After I got sorry, dude. Does sailfish also get a sorry, dude? Or
yeah.
So what type of fish are we allowed?
So Rabbi Tendler.
Let's follow this through. Rabbi Tendler says.
Rabbi Tendler gets up and says that in fact.
They want to eat swordfish.
Oh.
They don't want them to tell them, sorry, dude, it's not
cool.
So,
sorry. Right. So, this, of course, was not met with absolute
great glee. Great excitement.
Among the people who came out strongest, oddly enough, was conservative Judaism. It's rare, but in number 11, I give you the proceedings of the Rabbinic Assembly. We don't, just to show you how open-minded we are at the East Denver Orthodox Synagogue. And the question that was asked is swordfish kosher? Answer, the Committee on Jewish Law and Standards of the Rabbinic Assembly has ruled in the past that swordfish is kosher. Decision was based on the study of traditional halachic sources as well as the evidence of competent scientific experts in the field. Recently, the question has been reopened because of the statement by the Union of Orthodox Congregations based on the statement of Rabbi Moshe Tendler, who is Rosh Yeshiva Rabbeinu Yitzchak Acharet and Associate Professor of Biology, Yeshiva College. Even the spelling isn't great. Some of our colleagues have urged us to restudy the question to see whether there is any new evidence that would make us revise our previous decision. The answer will depend on resolution of the fine question. Do swordfish have scales? Do these scales satisfy the requirements of halacha? And they came out and they were totally not bothered by Rabbi Tendler at all, as fate would have it. Rabbi Tendler went to the next year or so later, in 1968, decides to respond in the Jewish Observer. Right? So he, again, I'm giving you shortened versions. He says, but no place in the Talmud or response to literature is there any reference to such a deviant, a fish that has scales as a juvenile but not as an adult. Yet the conservative clergy must be aware of Talmudic reference to some form of swordfish, as it is mentioned in Talmudic Encyclopedic article they cite as the basis of their heter. He says, they pointed to Encyclopedia Talmudis, which says that the swordfish is kosher, but wait a second, there is nothing in the Talmud that talks about this type of fish. The Talmud talks about the fish that grows it later in life. It talks about the type that loses it afterwards, but a type that would grow its scales later, that would lose its scales later in life before it's taken out? Impossible. If the swordfish of the Talmud had juvenile scales, the Talmud would have surely recorded the fact. Then he gets to the key of his argument. I discussed the above presented facts with my great teachers, Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, and they concur with my decision on the basis of the evidence presented, the swordfish, yeah, pronounce that, is a non-kosher fish. So that's, so again, that is,
which fish were they catching?
So the problem is that, no, that's absolutely not true. that we don't know what this happened, but the swordfish does not shake off its scales.
But the sailfish does?
What?
The sailfish.
I don't know what a sailfish is, but a marlin.
Yeah.
Mahi Mahi is kosher.
So again, Rabbi Tanu's basic argument is that the swordfish that we have does not have scales. And, you know, if it has scales, it only grows later in life. It cannot be removed, these scales, without damaging the fish, right? And therefore, it's not considered halachically scales.
Hold on, but that's the only reason, because you said earlier, it does have scales, but it's not eventually growth.
Right, so again, his argument is, again, is that it only, the what you would call scales, it only has at the beginning of the life, which it doesn't go through. The ones that they have, you cannot remove, he argues,
without tearing,
without the flesh. And the fact that we have sources that say that the dag hacherev is kosher is not referring to this fish. He thinks it's a sailfish. So that's a question on the dude, right? That's only the dude who says that.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out the source of this.
Of said dude. Not, right, the mucker.
Yeah, come on.
What? Not whoever ate his fish. Now, his argument that you know, forget about me, this is the opinion of Rav Moshe and Rav Soloveitchik, is not a bad argument were it to be true. If you look at Rabbi Schechter's Sefer Divrei HaRav, which is one of the three volumes of the halachic biography of Rav Soloveitchik, he writes as follows. Hilchos Dagim, b'Knesses HaGadola, hevi sheminog pashut b'chol Yisrael lechol es hadag bar hacherev. Okay, we've read that already. Ho of Yishlos napir v'kaskes, we say, kama sham mehichris echa me'arbonim ba'America. So he said, a few years, many years ago, a certain rabbi in America, that is, says swordfish einenu dog tahor b'vishah kaskasov einam domos b'tzurasim v'kaskasay sar dogim tahor. His argument is that the scales were not similar to the scales of kosher animal, of fish. V'shalo l'zeh nischavei k'neses gadol b'heshira es dog acherev b'zmanahu. And therefore, this was not what the Knesset, what Kagadola said that they were eating. Zmanahu b'kish rabbeinu me'rav gom professor Shlomo Sternberg. So Rav Soloveitchik asked Shlomo Sternberg if he could, who's a professor, I don't know who he is, if he could please look into it. So this professor actually bought a fish to Rav Soloveitchik together with its scales. In fact, Professor Sternberg still has those scales, actually. So Rav Schechter says that Rav Soloveitchik said, in fact, that swordfish is kosher.
How could two people, the Rav, say two different things? But Tendler says he's soymach on the Rav.
Right, he said the Rav agrees with me. Rav Schechter said, not true. He never.
Tendler says it's not true.
But how could he say that he said it was kosher and then he changed
his
mind or the other way?
Well, again, I don't know. According to Rav Schechter, they actually presented him with a fish. A swordfish, correct.
With
the scales. And he looked at the scales and he said, it's up and it's good.
Yeah.
So, okay. Right, what Rabbi Tendler presented, I don't know, but Tendler writes.
The snake
roy. We should have invited
Rabbi
Tendler to that meeting with the fish.
Meeting with the fish. Oh, so again, you know the talking fish from New Square.
I didn't know that.
No.
On hearing this, Rabbi Tendler
fell on
his sword.
Fish.
Fell on his sword, fish.
Okay? Right. So that's the story. So again, we have here that even with it, Rabbi Tendler says, Rav Moshe and the Rav agree with me. Rav Shalt says, not true. The Rav did
not
agree
with me. I'm confused. I don't know where we
fall out here.
We haven't fallen yet.
Okay. We're not done yet.
We're not up to the fallout yet.
Tell me
about it. Mm-hmm. All right.
So,
we can't say trade
on the among the people that took on Rav Tendler at the time was Rav Unterman, Rav Isser Yehuda Unterman. He was the chief rabbi of Israel. Correct. So this is where we're dealing with.
He's a heavyweight. There's not a lightweight.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. At the time he wrote this, so he was not yet the chief rabbi. He was at this point. He was the chief rabbi. Absolutely was. So he wrote a tshuva. Rabbi Tendler wrote back to him, and he responded again. So in the tshuvas, Shevet Mi Yehuda. He writes, Haresha dug hamotzoi swordfish. Who kosher? Bibisa kaskosov kvar nishu b'mayim v'einam nikarim. It came off in the water. It's fine. Achakach. Right? V'lo has sailfish ha'osid l'gadel kaskasim. And it is, we're not talking about the sailfish. What? Sailfish. Sailfish.
Sailfish.
That's a sailfish, not a shellfish. There's a big difference. So he comes out and says, right? Okay. So that's Rav Unterman says, no. Rabbi Tendler, what we're talking about is a swordfish. We're not talking about a sailfish. So he says, I got a secret to tell you. How do we know if a bird is kosher?
Oh, no.
Right.
Misora.
That's it. Dun, da, da, dun, dun. Remember the shtetl, we used to eat quail. Oh, sorry, that's how we know. We eat quail, we ate pheasant. Ah, those were good times. Right, correct. Absolutely. And so he says, the bottom line is when it comes to kashrus, we rely on mesoras. And guess what?
What?
For all these years, people have been eating swordfish. Right? The fact that they assume this is kosher, that's good enough. And therefore, he has a request. Dear Rebbe, please stop doing this. Right? He said, therefore.
This could be an opening. Everybody could say, I don't care about the masorah.
Right.
Chicken. From now on, we're not eating chicken.
Right. So he said, therefore, you don't normally farsim as zelotoelas basis. Please tell everyone it's okay, because it'll be helpful. Has a hearing be yisurim? Vegam kadesh lo yagudos agudos. What are you studying machokas? Half the people are going to eat it, half the people aren't going to eat it. It's kosher, stop it already. Elu osim velu matirim. Rashem yareinu bederecha yeshar lishma mitzvosa vechuka vishmarinu mekol milchshol. Yinin bechavad rav iser Yehuda Utman harav rashila tel aviv yafo vamochas. Right, so this time it was right before he was.
Yeah, before he became chief rabbi.
But again, he was the same Talmud Chacham in those days. So Rav Unterman came out strongly against the Rav Tendler. Even the Rav Tendler wrote back to him, and he was not moved by the arguments. On the other hand, the Tzitz Eliezer, Dag Hanikar Mishin Swordfish in Mutter Ra'acha, the Chacham Echad. You assume it's probably what? Are those dage hacherev, hanikra b'safa anglit b'shem swordfish near the daiti sheyesra osro? No good. V'afal gad kines kedolah b'simim pei gimel v'agos beis Yosef osayim dag kosa d'minuk pashul choyzvok le'echol adag v'al hacherev hanikra b'raz pisi espada. Right? Swordfish. Who says that's the same thing? Now, Miguel, you say it is.
Right? Would you translate that paragraph
that you just read? So what we just read, we had read that before, and he's saying that even though that the Dag HaCherev we agree is kosher. Who says that? What we have here is the dagach is the swordfish.
Swordfish, which we think is swordfish. Okay. It's actually the old swordfish that our
Everyone agrees that a sailfish also has a sword at the end of its nose. That one has scales, but it loses a lot of them afterwards.
The sailfish.
Right, so that's what he thinks is. Who's going to risk that maybe we got it wrong? Right. The bottom line is right, that we're talking about potential of a Torah violation. And suffik de oraisa le chumra. So, right, therefore, he said, since we're dealing with a potential Torah violations, we should be stringent and not eat the swordfish.
Except that in the very beginning, we said, if it has scales, it had scales at some point in his life, that was enough.
Right.
So
therefore, all, the sailfish is good.
Right. So, first of all, I don't know anything about sailfish because I don't recall eating any of that. Does it have scales?
So it says yes.
Cool. So why don't we see
the
selfish not kosher?
What?
Exactly.
Because the scales are different.
So again. So he says selfish is kosher. Again, I don't know where the dudester gets that from.
I'm trying to find
the mucker. The primary source.
What do you have?
Right.
It's very mocking.
It seems that way.
Totally.
They just updated it.
So,
yeah, I don't know where to find it.
Because the idea that they're arguing that the swordfish does not have scales.
On the app,
so, did the chief rabbi have an answer to this?
If you what? Go to settings, look on the
so, yeah,
on the app,
so the chief rabbi, again, he did not think that there's a doubt here. But he's convinced. He's convinced that again, if your father and your grandfather and your great grandfather, going back hundreds of years, thinks that this. Right?
Yeah.
And
a sailfish?
What?
Or
have
it been
no, he's like a sailfish.
Sometimes it'll tell you the author before you install it.
What?
The app is kosher.
17th century.
And so all these people were eating the fish for centuries. And
right.
All of a sudden in 1950, a guy comes and says, you can't eat it anymore.
Right. So he's the guy in the 1950s said they weren't eating it. They were eating sailfish. That's the argument he's making. That you guys
narrow,
are mischief.
Narrow bridge media.
Do we eat selfish? Because it has a sword.
I don't know.
What?
Do we eat selfish?
Yitzhak can't eat selfish, but the rest of us can, it seems. I personally?
Yeah.
No. Me? No. No, it's a different fish.
No.
Now, everybody else has Googled it at the table already besides me and you. So,
who the owner, who the writer of this app is, and it doesn't say anywhere.
Marlin, selfish.
So,
it's an app that's Marlin.
There you go.
Hiskei Shlomo Zor Shlomo Aviner. Okay, so Rav Aviner, right? A middle-of-the-road, normal type of fellow. He was asked the question, Imdag Cherev Kosher. Now again, Piskei Shlomo, I believe, are tshuvas the Rav Aviner answered by text. So they tend to be shorter. Right? So he said, Yes, Machokas, Amnon Kines Gedol Hitir. Avo, Lo Batuach Shezehu Adag Shal Hayom. Hashelim Hi Begaz Akaskosov Noshim Yesh Matirin. Some people say he can. Namely, the Shevet Miyehuda. Right? And Divrei Harav. B'Shem HaGrid Salavetchik. Etc. Achrova poskim osrim. So he thinks the majority of the poskim do not allow it. This again was mostly dealt with decades ago, but it got exciting again this year.
Of course.
In the Jewish press.
Right. Jewish press.
Interesting. April 19th, 2018. It seems the Jewish press now has a Rabbi Schechter column where they ask him questions. Right, right. So it's interesting. If you go on the website, it's been removed, this one in particular.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, that's so interesting.
This is right. Herschel Schechter.
Yes. He writes a tshuva every week.
So Rav Schechter.
It is Rav Schechter,
correct. It's not the one.
It's not another Herschel, not
the one of blessed memory. So here's what they quote word for word from Rav Schechter, and you'll see why they yanked it. The comedy show now say Dag HaCherev, literally the fish of sword, is kosher. Why is it widely considered to be not kosher then? Because around 67 years ago, they asked Rabbi Tendler if he could make a list of which fish are kosher and which aren't. Rabbi Tendler decided to list the swordfish as a trefa fish because he called up an expert who told him the scales on a swordfish are a different consistency, or something like that, from those of other fish. So he decided it was a trefa fish. But that's absolutely not correct. The commentators in Shulchan Aruch say Dag HaCharev is kosher. Professor Shlomo Sternberg, a big genius in learning and math, published an essay maybe 20 years ago in which he writes that Rav Soloveitchik asked him to conduct research on the status of swordfish. He did. He showed Rav Soloveitchik the scales of a swordfish, and Rav Soloveitchik said, it's a kosher fish. Rabbi Sternberg writes that he still has the envelope with the scales he showed Rav Soloveitchik in his Gemara Chulin. If the commentaries on Shulchan Aruch say Dag HaCharev is kosher, how can Rabbi Tendler claim it isn't? Rabbi Tendler claims Dag HaCharev is a different fish. It's not true. But Rabbi Tendler did a service to the Orthodox Jewish community because at the time there was conservative rabbis who were giving hashgachas. So he left them out of existence, and they said they don't know what they were talking about because they were giving swordfish a hechsher when swordfish is really treif. So the Orthodox realized you can't rely on the conservatives. The conservatives were right on the issue, but Rabbi Tendler accomplished his goal. I'm surprised they pulled that from the web. But there you have it. So again, this is a matter of a great dispute to this point. Rabbi Schechter is very I should really look into this, but on the web there is a disagreement whether Rabbi Schechter has ever actually eaten swordfish or not. Right?
Yeah,
What? Maybe we'll buy a few cans of it and put it on the side. All right. So there you have it.